This is Primal Potential, and I am your host, Elizabeth Benton. Primal Potential is about you. Your ability to change is not defined by yesterday and doesn't need to wait until tomorrow. Your transformation is now. Let's get started. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Primal Potential Podcast. I am Elizabeth Benton. I gotta say, I'm excited to talk about hiding food, sneaking food, eating when nobody is around, or getting excited to have the house to yourself so that you can eat. We are going there today. This is such an important topic that we haven't talked about in a while that really represents an amazing opportunity to improve your mindset and your relationship with food. Before we do, though, I got this crazy exciting news the other day, and I have to share it with you. So I got a message on Instagram from my friend Laura Lee Goldberg. If you are not following her on Instagram, you need to be at Laura Lee Balanced. I will link that up in the show notes at primalpotential.com/565. She messaged me and she said, Elizabeth, have you ever had peely nuts? And I was like, yes, I love peely nuts. But she had posted on her story that she got some from Thrive Market. And I said, but last I checked, Thrive didn't carry peely nuts, and I had been getting them from Amazon. And she said, not only does Thrive Market now have peely nuts, but they also have peely nut butter. I was so excited because I love peely nuts. If you haven't had them, it's spelled P-I-L-I, peely nuts. Otherwise, you might be thinking like P-E-E-L-Y or something. No, P-I-L-I. Think of the most magnificent combination of smooth and creamy plus crunchy salty, and now you've imagined the peely nut. So these are a nut, obviously, that's why they're called nuts. They are higher in fat than almost all nuts, as well as lower in carb. So for me, I don't really respond very well to carbohydrates. I love, love, love and eat a ton of vegetables. However, carbohydrates from non-vegetable sources, I moderate in my life. But whether you do or whether you don't, peely nuts taste amazing. And now they're on Thrive Market. And the reason I get so excited about that, in addition to just loving what Thrive is doing by making healthier foods available at lower prices, like I just want to support them in every way that I can. But really, the bottom line is peely nuts are less expensive through Thrive Market than they are through Amazon. So I am all about that. Peely nuts have a real great concentration of monounsaturated fats. They're also really high in magnesium, and magnesium is important for me personally. I've done a couple episodes on magnesium, so if you're like, why does that matter? Go to primalpotential.com, search magnesium. You'll get a bunch of hits there for episodes or blogs, etc. They're also, this is great, hear me, everybody lean in, we're talking about peely nuts. They're a complete protein, which means peely nuts contain all of the essential amino acids. Amino acids are the building blocks of proteins. So every protein is made up of a combination of amino acids, but within amino acids, there are essential amino acids, and there are non-essential amino acids, and then there are conditionally essential amino acids. But the bottom line is that the essential amino acids cannot be produced by the body. Therefore, we must get them through our diet because our body cannot manufacture them. Non-essential amino acids can be produced by the body, so we don't have to get them from the diet. And then conditionally essential, you've probably figured it out. Sometimes they can be manufactured by the body under certain conditions, but not always. A complete protein is something that contains all of the essential amino acids. Peely nuts are a complete protein. Love that, love that, love that. Plus, like I said, they're seriously delicious. You can't really compare them to anything else. Like macadamia nuts are a higher fat nut, but peely nuts are smoother than that. They are crunchy, but once you've gotten those first couple bites in, they are so smooth and creamy, like almost buttery, but not greasy, which is just a brilliant combination, if you ask me. Peely nuts. They are now available on Thrive Market as well as Peely Nut Butter. A word of caution about the Peely Nut Butter. To some people, it might have a crack-like effect, meaning once you take one bite of a spoonful, you keep going back at it. Also, there are different kinds of Peely Nut Butter. Some of them are flavored, meaning they have some sugars added. Personally, those versions are not making their way into my house because, my life's just easier without this amazingness of sugar. Like, if I'm going to have sugar, it's not going to be in nut butter. It's going to be like ice cream or a cupcake. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, I will link to both Peely Nuts and Peely Nut Butter on Thrive Market in the show notes at primalpotential.com/565. As soon as I heard it, I was like, I have to tell you guys, because I've posted about Peely Nuts before on Instagram, but they were not available through Thrive. Now they are, as well as Peely Nut Butter, and at a discount. Plus, don't forget, you can save even more when you go through my Thrive Market URL, which is thrivemarket.com/primalpotential. You still get that free 30-day trial membership, as well as an additional 20% off your first order. So hooray for Thrive Market getting on board with the Peely Nuts. I am excited, and I will put the links to the Peely Nuts and the Peely Nut Butter over on primalpotential.com/565. And yes, I do have a little bit of a cold. I am being very particular about lowering my stress and very intentional about lowering my stress because I think that's part of why I've had this recurrent cold congestion. And it's nothing like crazy or bonkers. I feel totally fine. I'm just congested. But the combination of moving, the book launch, a million other things, I need to be intentional about lowering my stress. That is one of the reasons I had Dr. Beth on the show last week. We talked about stress. We talked about the types of stress. We talked about specific things that I am doing to lower my stress exposure. But yes, as I hear myself talking, I'm like, oh, sound like I have a cold, because I do. All right, we're going to be talking about sneaking food, hiding food, eating more when people aren't looking, or eating differently when you are alone than you eat when you are in front of other people. But before we do that, two quick updates. One is related to the identity journal. So many of you guys loved the episode I did with my friend Jen a couple weeks ago. We were talking about how we have changed the way we journal a little bit, and we're referring to it as identity journaling. A lot of it was inspired by this difference between internal goals and external goals, or internal targets and external goals that I talk about in Chasing Cupcakes. A lot of it was also inspired by James Clear's book, Atomic Habits, and I announced on that episode that I am creating a physical identity journal that will be available in April for all of my 12 Weeks to Transformation clients, my Master's Club clients, and that is moving right along. It is with the designer now. It'll be going to the printer within the week, and I cannot wait to get the physical copies of this new exciting journal. So wanted to give you an update that I nervously made that commitment on that episode a couple weeks ago, and the ball is rolling full steam ahead. The second thing, and I announced this just yesterday via the VIP email list, free email I send out once a week just to give people something to think about, get them focused or motivated for the week, share how I coach myself, different things like that. What I shared in yesterday's VIP email is that I, in an attempt to serve you better, I have opened up a totally free Primal Potential Facebook group. I'm in the process of making some really exciting improvements to Primal Potential that will allow me to have more time to serve my clients And also, still joyfully and eagerly meet the needs of those of you who choose not to be clients, not to work with me in a more formal setting. And one of the things that I am doing as part of this really exciting shift and some awesome new stuff coming down the pipeline that I'll be talking about more soon, one of those things is opening up a free Primal Potential Facebook group. Yes, I have a Primal Potential Facebook page, but it's not a real great opportunity for connection and community and collaboration. And with the algorithms, only about 3% of the people who are fans of that page actually see the posts. So this is also a way to make sure that those of you who want to be encouraged and inspired and reminded and motivated by the things happening there can more easily and readily do so. I'm going to be doing different fun things in there, whether that is going live to do some additional content. That will happen. Also doing some tours as I get my garden started here in the new orchard property and cool stuff like that, that there's not otherwise a really easy place for me to do that. I'm going to be doing that over in the Facebook group. So you can either go to facebook.com and just search Primal Potential and look under groups and you'll see it there. No worries if you don't see it there. You can just go to primalpotential.com/565. That's the show notes page for today's episode, and I will link to it there as well. Now, on to today's show. Sneaking food. Hiding what you eat. Eating differently when no one is around than you do when people are watching. Waiting until no one's around to eat that thing because you're not willing to do it when your spouse or your colleague or your kid or your mom or your sister is in the room. Undoubtedly, when I start describing the behavior, do you hide what you eat? Do you wait for people to leave? Do you eat differently when no one's around? If those are some things that you've done, that you struggle with, it can make you uncomfortable when I call it out. No doubt about it. And I know from the conversations I've had with clients and just from my, like, hello, I was the queen of this behavior. So from my own work and my own process and my own improvements, I know that there's a real tendency to feel bad about it or embarrassed by it or ashamed of yourself, frustrated. And I want you right now, if you are feeling like, ugh, that's so me, and you feel bad about that, I want you to shift your perspective for a minute. Just the fact that you are able to identify with any one or more of those behaviors, sneaking, hiding, eating differently when no one's watching, feeling eager to be alone so that you can eat, none of that is bad. In fact, it is amazing. Because what this is bringing up for you right now is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to create a shift. And if you didn't have that awareness or you weren't listening to this right now, you might not have that opportunity to create this improvement that is going to give you more mental peace, more freedom, a greater sense of control. So this conversation is an opportunity. There's no doubt that sometimes change can feel hard, and sometimes overcoming these barriers or these struggles can feel really daunting, but you're like so many steps ahead that you can identify it, and we're having a conversation about it right now. That you clicked play on that episode, on this episode, is your chance to make an improvement. So leave the judgment behind because it doesn't help. It's not necessary. That shame response is a chosen response, and you can choose to set it aside. I have behaved this way, period. I'm not assigning emotion to it. I'm not judging myself because of it. I've simply made these choices to eat this way in the past, and because I'm willing to acknowledge it, to be aware of it, to own it, I now have the power to create an improvement. And as I said, and I've talked about this before, I know what it feels like. My sneaking food started when I was like, I don't know, 4? Seriously, 4 years old. Because my mom was always watching what I ate. And I learned that there was this external judgment happening in the home, watching what I was eating all the time. So I got super creative about sneaking. Ready? I would go to just about any lengths. When I was in first and second grade, I remember we had an RV, like a recreational vehicle, and my dad would keep a coffee can, a Folgers coffee can, full of quarters for tolls. This was like way before Easy Pass, in the RV between the driver's side seat or the driver's seats. There was this big coffee can full of quarters, and the version of me now that loves change is just dying to know how much money was in there, but I never really thought about it. I would go into the RV that was parked in the driveway, and I would grab one or two handfuls of quarters, stuff them in my pockets, and then I would use the quarters to run down the road to the ice cream truck. And actually, that's a lie. I didn't run anywhere. Unless somebody was watching, I probably walked really slowly to the ice cream truck, but never in front of the house, never where anybody could see, way down the street or down another side street. And then I would hide in the woods and eat whatever I bought. Or sometimes I would take the change, and my mom was a teacher. So after school, we would hang out at school until my mom was ready to leave work. So when the kids had all left and the teachers were in their faculty meetings or doing work in their classrooms, I would take the quarters that I had stolen and go into the teacher's lounge and buy like as much as I could from the vending machine. I'm not talking about like one bag of Skittles. I'm talking about whatever I had enough money for. If that was two things, it was two things. If it was 12 things, it was 12 things. And then I would take all of the food and I would sit underneath a desk, a teacher's desk, where you couldn't see that somebody was under it, and I would eat it all. And there was this one teacher who kept candy in one of her desk drawers for like prizes if kids would, you know, do well on a math test. And that was my favorite classroom to go in if there weren't meetings being held in there or parent conferences in there, because I could sit under her desk and eat all of my vending machine haul and pull out the drawer and eat her candy. So it started young, but it continued on. It wasn't something that I grew out of. Now, I fortunately have worked very hard to change that behavior, and I'm going to talk a little bit about how I did it and how I continue to practice a different response to indulging in front of people or matching the way I behave with the way I want to be perceived as behaving. So we'll get into that. But I share that backstory just to make it really clear. I was the queen of sneaking food. And though it started really young, it just got more complex and more complicated as I got older. Even when I was in my 20s and I was working in corporate America, I was almost always the first person to work. So either I would stop at a gas station on the way in, or I'd hit up the vending machine when I got there, sometimes both. And then my top desk drawer would just be stuffed full of like all sorts of different varieties of things, like Chex Mix, sour watermelons, chocolate bars, you name it. And I would only reach my hand in there if nobody could see. If there was a meeting happening in my office, I was never going to eat it. I would wait for people to leave. And even when my office door was open, I would never open the drawer fully, and I would never take out a full bag and put it on my desk. I was always sneaking it, never wanting anybody to see, as if the fact that I was 350 pounds was somehow like fooling people. But I didn't ever want to be seen indulging, and I would never, ever overeat in a group in front of a person. I would never binge in a group or in front of a single person ever, ever, ever. Even at home, when I was married, I would bury wrappers in the trash so that my husband wouldn't see them. Or I would take things to the outside trash cans and still bury it out there. Or I would stop at a grocery store or a gas station on the way home and throw away Taco Bell wrappers there instead of bringing them home. And it was an awful way to live. Here's the thing about hiding It's not exclusive to one area of your life. Yes, I was hiding what I was eating. But I was hiding. It's never just about the food. It's about, you can't see me. I can't connect with you. I can't be me when I am refusing to really be me out front where people can see me. When I was married, I can't connect with my husband when I'm hiding this big part of my life, because what is more than, what is deeper than, what is greater than and more insidious than hiding what I was eating, I was keeping secrets. I was saying, I don't trust you enough to be myself in front of you. I won't let you see this part of me. I won't let you see my struggle. And so then not only is there this destructive relationship with food, there's this real loneliness. Guys, hear me on this. It's not just about this food. If you are putting yourself forward as this version of you that is not the real you or not the full you or not the complete you, if you have this thing that you hide, you cannot connect fully with anybody, period. You can't. So you're keeping people at a distance, which means you're keeping yourself at a distance from people. And while my sneaking food was certainly not the only reason I was lonely, it was a big part of the reason I couldn't connect, because the greater version of the story than I eat in private was, I will hide what I don't want to be seen. And that's an operating system. It's a belief system. It's a perspective. And I wasn't just hiding from other people. I was hiding from myself. This was the same time that I didn't want to write down on paper all of my debt, right? All of the student loan debts, the car loans, the furniture loans, whatever it was. I didn't want to write that down because I didn't want to see it. I was hiding from the full truth. I was hiding. I didn't want to get on the scale. I don't even know how many years it was that I didn't go to the doctor. And the only reason I didn't go to the doctor was because I didn't want to know what I weighed and I didn't want the doctor to know what I weighed. So this really interesting thing happened when a couple weekends ago, I was at a family wedding, and one of my mother's aunts, who is in her mid-90s, God bless her, she's sitting with one of her other sister-in-laws at this little table in the bar of the hotel that most of us were staying at. And I went into the bar because I had ordered a salad takeout to eat before I went to the wedding. And a bunch of family was in the bar sitting at a long table, and then these two were kind of off to the side, and they waved me over, and I walked over, and one of my aunts, again, mid-90s, she said, you know, I didn't know what you did for work until your mom told me about your book. And so I've been doing all this research on the internet about you. If you want to know anything about yourself, I can help. I thought that was so cute. And she said, but you know, she said, I don't think you were ever that big. I don't remember you ever being that big. And that's not the first time someone in my family has said that. And part of it is they saw me for me and they didn't see me for my size. But there are people who are like, I don't feel like I ever saw you when you looked the way you look in some of these pictures. And so I had my phone with me and I showed her a picture of around about my heaviest, certainly not my absolute heaviest, but just what I happen to have on camera. And she said, you know, wow, I don't really remember that. And it's honestly because I was hiding for years. So while you might not think that it's a big deal to only eat the candy when nobody's alone or when nobody's around and you're alone, hiding is hiding. And it is not, even if it appears to be, it is not an isolated decision. It is a pattern. What else are you hiding? What else are you hiding? From yourself? or from other people. Maybe it's your feelings about something. Maybe it's your feelings about yourself. Maybe it's about your true goals and your aspirations and what you want. Maybe it's just the choices you make. That is no way to live. It will prevent connection. And it will keep you feeling really alone. One of the things I realized is that, first of all, nobody expects me to be perfect. And also nobody wants me to be perfect because that's really boring to be around. But I don't think that's why we hide what we eat. And that's what I really want to talk about today. Because you can lose weight all day long. You can pay off debt all day long. But if you don't rewrite some of these patterns of behavior, then we get what we've been talking about so much, which is this unhappy achiever state of living where, yeah, I've made progress, but, you know, why don't I feel better? In yesterday's VIP email, I included a clip from The Sound of Music, and it's the youngest girl, Gretel. Anyway, she hurts herself, and at one point she says to her sister, "Why don't I feel better?" And I love that clip, but it's really kind of sad. If you lose weight and you're still hiding something from yourself, if you still feel like you can't indulge in front of other people, or you can't talk about your goals to the people close to you, or you can't talk about your fears to those people in your life that matter most, you won't feel better. You can make all of this progress in your life and you'll be sitting there wondering, why don't I feel better? It's no way to live. It's no way to live. So not only did I have to stop binging, I mean, just from the health, sanity, money, weight loss perspective, I had to learn for the first time how to get comfortable eating without shame, without nervousness in front of other people, right? I've had to stop hiding from myself and hiding from people in my life. I've had to work hard to remove years of negative stigma around food and body shame and all of those kinds of things. So much of it is projecting how other people might feel if they see you make this choice. And my practice has been and continues to be, I refuse to hide. And as instructed by the amazing book, The Four Agreements, make no assumptions. I'm not going to assume what somebody is going to think when I eat this thing or drink this thing or say this thing or wear this thing, because that is living in hell. A monkey mind where you're just projecting and inventing all these other things that other people might think. I just have a practice of not making assumptions about those things. And it happens in the littlest moments. The other day, I was in a local market with my boyfriend, and I think we were getting dinner or something, but I also walked over to their little bakery case and I got a fresh baked cookie. And he said, "You're getting a cookie?" Not because he was upset that I was getting a cookie, but because it's not a common thing for me to just walk into a store and walk out with a cookie anymore, thank goodness. And I noticed that my first inclination was to defend it. Well, I never do. It's totally fine every once in a while. My tendency was to justify it, to rationalize it, because it's just the most well-worn path in my brain. Make it okay. So it was a chance for me to practice. So I just said with a smile, "I am. Don't they look good?" That's one of the places I really want you to start thinking about your own behavior in this, because it's easy to kind of think about it in terms of other people. Maybe somebody you work with or somebody you know or how you used to be, etc. When you eat differently, when you're alone, or when you hide something or you eat it in your car and you're in a race to finish it before you get home or before you get to pick up the kids or whatever, the first question I want you to think of is, are you doing it because of what other people might think? There's this concept called meta-perception. And what meta-perception refers to is how we perceive that others might perceive us. So are you wanting to finish this before you get home, before you get to the kids, before your husband comes downstairs, etc.? Is that because of how you think they might think? How you think they might perceive you? Or are you doing it because of what you think about yourself? Now, the reason I'm asking this, and this is something that comes up over and over and over and over again in my book, Chasing Cupcakes. The reason I'm bringing this up is because I want to help you break the pattern of thinking in incomplete thoughts and help you establish the pattern of thinking in complete thoughts. So if you're thinking, I don't want to eat this way in front of other people, or I don't want to eat this thing or this much in front of other people, this is your opportunity to practice thinking in complete thoughts. Why don't I want them to see me eating this? Is it because I think they're going to judge me? Did I invent that? Did I just make that up? Or is it because that's not how I want people to perceive me? I only want people to see me making good choices. And then I want you to ask yourself, well, what is more important to me? Guys, this is where the magic is. What is more important to you? For people to think that you're someone you're not? Or to be yourself no matter what? Or maybe it's an opportunity to change your behavior so that you're showing up as the person you want people to think you are. So there's not this gap between who you're being and how you want people to think you are, you know? That's where so much unhappiness comes from, because we're busy trying to curate our lives and curate our relationships and manage what people see of us, because how we want to be seen is different from who we are. That is a lot of work. That is a lot of stress. And whether you see it right now or not, it's a lot of isolation. So I would rather be exactly who I am, come what may, but know that the people that are in my life knowing full well who I really am, not I have to manage this facade that I've curated by really being careful about what I show and what I don't show, and feeling like I'm on eggshells because if people know who I really am, then they're not going to like me anymore. I don't want to live that way. Do you? This is your opportunity to break through. Do you want to be authentic? Do you want other people in your life to feel like they have to curate who they are, how they are for you? I'm sure that the answer on that one is no, I want people to be themselves. Well, how can the people in your life feel like they can be themselves if you are curating this perfectly manicured vision of yourself that isn't real? So when I did this in my own life, first I was like, I don't want to give the impression that I eat perfectly because I don't eat perfectly. Like that's just, I want to be real. I want to be honest. And I don't want to give my energy and my emotion to curating my life or my choices to create a facade. I don't want there to be any disconnect between who I am and how people see me. Which is why, especially like in my 12 weeks to transformation in the Master's Club, I am very upfront about what I'm struggling with and how I talk myself through moments. And in sharing how I talk myself through moments, I'm regularly saying, I'm driving home, I'm stressed out, all I can think about is how I want ice cream. I'm not saying like, oh gosh, yeah, you know, eating Brussels sprouts feels so good, I never even think about ice cream anymore. Because I just want to be real. I just want to be authentic. Which makes it even more important for me to eat the cookie in front of my boyfriend or have the drink with my family. Or, which is an even more important practice for me because of where my food issues kind of began, to take the cookie in front of my mom instead of waiting until she leaves the room to take the cookie. Like, no, this is a practice. This is important to me. This is who and how I want to be. We also do so much for ourselves in terms of eliminating insecurity when we show up as who we are. Instead of having this gap between like, this is who I am, but I'm going to show you that I'm this person, and please don't find out. Please don't find out. Can I hold up this fake image long enough? That's where insecurity comes from. When it comes to the reasons that you decide to eat differently when no one is around, it stems from your perspective. And you get to create a different story here. And with new stories come new possibilities. Because, yeah, you can continue to tell yourself the story that, like, you can't eat this or this way in front of other people, and you'll continue to make those choices. But new stories create new possibilities. And you and I can be something greater than we've ever been before. There's also a couple other things beyond this authenticity, beyond choosing to practice living your truth in front of everybody in your life, as opposed to curating and managing how other people see you by doing things in hiding. There are a couple other perspectives that I want you to consider as you embrace this practice of being more authentic in how you show up. And one of them goes back to the idea of perspective we just touched on. When I would eat when no one was looking, it was generally not like, oh, I'm going to have a bite of dessert, but I can't because my spouse is here. No. It was like, I'm going to have a bag of tortilla chips and a thing of guac and a chocolate bar and, you know, something else. It was usually about how much I was eating. And I didn't just say, well, I'm going to stuff myself stupid no matter who's around, because I didn't want to continue to stuff myself stupid. It didn't feel good. So the way that I changed my perspective on this is very simply, who said more is more? Is more really better? And when I started to get honest about this, because for too long, I just didn't question it. I just went with the almost comatose-like perspective, just blindly following a previous pattern. I had never questioned if more was better or it wasn't. And so I started for the first time to really break this down. Might it be true that I actually enjoy the stuff more when I'm not hoarding it, when I'm not binging it on it, when I'm not, you know, stuffing it into my mouth, peeking around the corner to make sure that nobody's coming, or trying to eat it fast enough before somebody comes downstairs? Like, hello, that was a real shift for me. If I'm gonna eat, I want to enjoy it. And I'm not enjoying it when I'm eating it with one hand while I'm driving, or I'm trying to stuff it in my face so fast that it's gone before somebody comes in the room. I'm not enjoying it that way. And more than that, more than the hiding and the rushing piece, the stuffing piece, there is a tipping point. We've talked about that a lot here on the show, where more is not better, where more is actually worse, because whereas one cookie can be totally delicious and totally worth it, six cookies or a bag of cookies can come with, bleh, why did I do that? Oh, now I feel sick. More is not always more, and that is a perspective that we get to choose. And the other thing that I noticed for me, and I've heard a lot of clients echo this sentiment, that after the first few bites, I kind of became shut off. And then it was just this stress response, this almost frantic eating behavior, as opposed to really savoring it and enjoying it. So when I am just racing to eat it as fast as I can, I'm not savoring it. I'm not enjoying it. So I reframed my perspective that more is not more. Tactically, in terms of an actual practice, I set rules for myself. And one of them is probably about a year ago. I don't indulge alone. I don't indulge alone. If something is worth it to me, I want to share it. And that doesn't mean I really want ice cream, but my boyfriend doesn't want ice cream, so I can't have ice cream because I don't indulge alone. No, I'll eat ice cream and he doesn't eat it, but we're together, as opposed to he's out tonight, so it's the perfect opportunity to get a pint of ice cream and eat it by myself. Nope, that is now not something I will do. purely because it's not who I want to be. I'm not suggesting you have that same guideline for yourself, but think about that. It's an important practice for me in my life, and it just means, A, I'm practicing the confidence of I own it and I'm not hiding, but also, if it's worth it to want to eat it alone, then it's worth it to want to eat it with somebody else. So I don't indulge alone. And then getting back to what we talked about a few minutes ago, which is thinking incomplete thoughts. Look, don't just unconsciously go with the notion of, I don't want anybody else to see me doing this. Why? You will be amazed at how you can shift your own perspective with hardly even trying if you just say, well, why don't I want anybody to see this? The more you do that, you're going to find that you just talked yourself out of it without trying to talk yourself out of it, because you realize that you're just like not being healthy, or you're not being wise, you're not being prudent, you're being a little silly or a little dramatic or a little ridiculous or all of the above. Practice thinking incomplete thoughts. If you start to think, oh, the kids have stuff going on tonight, I'm totally going to get Mexican takeout and ice cream. Wait. Why am I going to do that when the kids are gone? Well, because then I don't have to share. Okay, well, why am I feeling like it's good to get all this food and not have to share it? How am I going to feel after I do that? It doesn't mean you're necessarily going to talk yourself out of it, or that you even want to talk yourself out of it, but you are building this practice of thinking incomplete thoughts. And then, no matter what you are eating, alone or in company of others, am I still enjoying this? Or am I checked out? I've been thinking about this a lot with coffee, because coffee is quite an indulgence for me. Well, I don't even know if that's appropriate. I drink a lot of coffee, but I consider it like, ooh, coffee, it gets me all excited. And getting back to that basic practice of, am I even paying attention to this? Or am I just like drinking it because it's here and it could totally be water? Am I still enjoying this? And as I think through this choice, or as I eat this thing, or as I eat in this way, am I being who or how I want to be? Which is the perfect, perfect, perfect tie-in for sharing one of the wins that you guys shared with me. And I love getting these. So whether your win is big or small, it's food related or it's not food related, maybe it's fitness related or mindset related, send it to me. Leave it as a comment over on the show notes page at primalpotential.com/565. This one is very much related, and it came via email. It says, hi, Elizabeth. I've been a listener for the past year, and since listening, I've lost 30 pounds, got pregnant, kept the weight off during my pregnancy, and have since gotten back to my pre-pregnancy weight while breastfeeding. This was something in previous pregnancies, mom of three here, I told myself I couldn't do. But that's not my win. My win is a question I ask before every choice. Ready? This is where the beautiful part is. So mad. I mean, that's beautiful too. Is this what I want to choose every day? Is this what I want to choose every day? It gets better. If the answer is no, I don't choose it. Another way I'll ask is, does this fit my exception or my rule? If the answer is it's an exception, I ask, is this exception worth it? And if it's not a hell yes, it's a no. I'm going to read that again because I think it's so powerful and a really awesome way to wrap this up. I've been a listener for the past year, and since listening, I've lost 30 pounds, got pregnant, kept the weight off during my pregnancy, and have gotten back to my pre-pregnancy weight while breastfeeding. This was something in my previous pregnancies, mom of three, I told myself I couldn't do. But that's not my win. Ready? My win is a question I ask before every choice. Is this what I want to choose every day? If the answer is no, I don't choose it. Another way I'll ask, does this fit my exception or my rule? If the answer is exception, I ask, is this exception worth it? And if it's not a hell yes, it's a no. I love that win. I love you guys sharing your wins with me. I hope that you will take this into account and practice being authentic. Practice not hiding. Practice thinking incomplete thoughts. And if there is anything I can do to help or support you, please let me know. I hope, don't forget that you will join me in the new Primal Potential Facebook group, where I hope we can continue to challenge each other, to support each other, to build connection with each other. And I'm going to be sharing lots of fun and different things with you over there. You can go to Facebook and search Primal Potential, or you can just go to the show notes page for today's episode. You're going to want to check out the link there for the Peely Nuts over on Thrive Market too while you're there. Primalpotential.com/565, and I will chat with you very soon. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the Primal Potential Podcast, where my goal is not to inform you, but to transform you. And if you would like to receive free motivation and strategy and recipes, workouts, meal ideas every week right to your inbox, just text the word PRIMAL to the number 44222 or go to primalpotential.com/join. It's a great way to get the tools, the strategies, and the practical implementation assistance that you need to create your own transformation between podcast episodes. Just text the word PRIMAL to the number 44222 or go to primalpotential.com/join. See you there.